This is Ryan.
And this is Wayne.
This is Kill the Rabbit Podcast, episode 17. That's right. So this week's been pretty good. Things are still going well at work. It's cyclical. It goes up and down. Sometimes it's super stressful. Other times it's manageable. And then other times it's really good and just all over the place. So that's going well. I actually had more time to work on both projects. I was thinking of another thing where I would do training, but I haven't heard anything back from the person that I'm kind of depending on for shooting holes in that. My idea was that a lot of the times when I go into a contractual position, they'll have a lot of, not older developers, but developers that are trained in certain disciplines. And so they'll ask, well, if we can rapidly develop in Python, could you teach them? So I thought, well, you know, maybe I could start a business doing that. But I don't know. I mean, I'm really good at breaking those things down for people, but then you're kind of putting yourself in a constant position of bringing people along when you really enjoy the cutting edge stuff. So I'm on the fence about it. Taking the money out of it, you know, what else are you doing aside from just working for yourself? And is it something that, it's not something that I could probably get out of easily later. So it's probably better just to start something that you know is going to do something. So with the other business, it's going well. We brought on the marketing guy. So he's going to start looking, he's going to start working on branding, which, you know, can sell, you know, how do you sell Lamborghini? Well, branding, yes, but how it looks on the outside.
Right.
You know, how you're performing on the inside, maybe it's the same performance as a souped up whatever else. It's not a Lamborghini. It doesn't have the lines. So a lot of that marketing factor and that face value of whether it be the app or how we're presenting ourselves as the company kind of changes the game. So the partner that we're going in or that we're trying to get underneath, then I'm trying to provide what they want because they don't, and they're not doing it for free. They want something from it. So sure. They want me to depend on their platform to do something. So I've been debating a lot on how I'm going to make that work. But I've had a lot of time, predominantly in the mornings, not at night at all. So early in the morning, when I figured out that I was already working 8 hours from 9 to 5 at work, because I was thinking, oh, I just need to work at home from 7 to 8:30 and then go to work. And then you're realizing you're putting in almost 10 hours by doing that. So now I just strictly, so I'll get up at 6, and from 6 to like 8-ish, I'll work on whatever day it is. Like today it was the system. So, and I made some discoveries there. But I think the job has helped a lot with battling these obstacles, and I guess allowing me to like plan out as much as you can, but realizing that immediate touch that you have, some things may get mixed around, some things may vanish completely. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's been, overall it's been really good. It's been a good week.
You were talking about training people. And as you were talking about that, I was thinking you might enjoy mentoring certain people. But just because you give somebody a training class in something, it's kind of like priming a pump. Some people, it'll work and they'll get them going and they'll take off and fly with it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people won't. But if you were to find people that really get it and really want to run with it, you might enjoy that more.
It's like trying to find like secret self-starters.
Yeah.
So I did tutoring for programming, but all I was doing was taking money because the kid or the person or whatever they were at the time, they kind of want you to do it for them. They're not interested in it enough to be like, wow, now that you showed me how to fish, I can fish all day long.
Right.
It's more like, oh, that's cool, that's good enough for what I need for work or whatever to make my parents happy. So Yeah, you're right. As far as like having a syncing up on are we the same type of person? And also it begs to question if they're that ambitious, they probably already learned it. So they probably don't need your help.
Yeah, I was just thinking about, maybe you've heard people say, what do you want to get out of this class? Or what do you expect to get from this time? That really sounds like a pretty good question at this point, because you realize that if, say, for instance, you were teaching and, let's say you were teaching some night school class in college and you asked that question and everybody was just saying, well, it's a requirement for my degree program. And you're thinking, wow, okay. So we don't have a lot of excitement generated at this point. It's just a requirement that you have in order to get your degree. As opposed to somebody says, wow, I've always wanted to program games and all that. Not just because I like games, but because I like to understand what's under the hood, how things work and how programming certain things makes certain things happen on a screen and things like that. That kind of excitement, somebody's going to be worth, spending some time with, but.
Well, and that's a good point because I get a lot of interest on discussion. So, oh, you write software. I was at the dentist. That happened too. Oh, wow, that's so cool. Tell me about that.
Really?
It's not that a per and this is that was just a that's what I get most of the time. So, you're thinking that this is a reciprocation of passion. That they also want to do these things, and that's not necessarily true. They just find it fascinating. Like you're talking to a famous artist, but it doesn't mean you want to be an artist. So I get that a lot. Most of the time, that's what I get, that people are fascinated about how you can make computers do things that they never thought was imaginable. So gauging that, but then also realizing that you have certain abilities. That you're born with, and it's kind of good that there's not tons of people with that ability. So, yeah, training, I like it from the money perspective, but I feel like I would just get myself into a schedule that I'm like, what are you doing? Are you trying to make money on your own? Okay, now you did it, but now you lost all your time. And now you're the boss. So now you have to deal with all the problems that you don't want to deal with. So it's just kind of a catch-22.
And I think the reason that a lot of folks talk about passion, what's your passion, is because they want to get away from the money thing, first of all, but they also realize that you're not going to be very happy with what you're doing with your life if you don't get excited apart from whatever financial benefits there may be from it. You've got to enjoy doing that, otherwise it's drudgery.
Well, and I reached out when I was younger, probably 15 or 16. I'd been doing programming for since I was 13. I've really started to get a firm grasp of it at 15, 16. So I started looking into game programming. So then I had this author that I bought books from. And so it was funny because you don't even think about these things later on in life when we have social media and everything. So I found him on social media and I found him on LinkedIn. I connected them both. And I just shot him a quick note of, hey, this was really a main driver in my life as far as inspiring me to really delve deep into it and really don't be scared of the dark and really investigate what it is you're using and understand. Not only the software that you're building, but also the tools that you utilize to build the software. And so he responded back when, was like, wow, thank you so much for that. That means a lot. But I also sense that angst because he says that, and we've discussed this via email before, me and him. He just probably doesn't know. It's probably under a different email account. But he was saying how he's frustrated too with just the lack of interest in understanding the basics or the foundations of programming. And not even programming, it's just foundations of how you solve a problem. So if your knee-jerk reaction is, as a fresh kid out of school, well, I'm just going to import this library and that one, and it's just going to do it all for me, without any mind to how the magic works behind the scenes, or even if it's a good idea, that's that's the kind of things that we're having issues with now. And so on a previous episode, I was talking about Node, how everybody was importing Node packages. So a Node package doesn't necessarily need to be a full library of something. It can be a very small snippet. So like a little snippet that like puts a tab in is what the problem was. And so it crashed, and it crashed on hundreds of thousands of sites because everyone imported that thing instead of just coding it themselves. So you kind of get this, it's too fat now, that there's too many options for people to not rip someone else's stuff off, but there's such a, people are so dedicated to, I got to be there first, I got to be there faster, I'm going to build an app in a day. Like, yeah, you can do that, but is it really the best choice? Like, you have no clue what's going on under the sheets, you know what I mean?
Back in the day when I was working for IBM, when they used to have what we call water-cooled computer systems, and they had raised floors and everything else. One of the things I thought was kind of fascinating when you're talking about foundational things is we used to have, you know, structural engineers would do stress tests, like on the flooring, this is how much the computer weighs, it'll sustain this amount of weight, you have to spread the weight out certain ways in order to keep the floor from crashing down. And on a bigger scale, if you think about architecturally, the foundation, you know, it's one thing to teach somebody, I know that there needs to be walls here and doorways here, and we're going to put carpet here, and we're going to put interior walls here and here and here and here. But foundationally, you have to know structurally how the columns need to be set and what they need to be made out of and how thick they need to be and everything else if you're going to build a, you know, multi-story building as opposed to a single story. So, you know, thinking about foundational things like you were talking about with programming and all that, because I had wondered myself when you had asked that, you know, you mentioned this about this guy that was really your inspiration, being a little dismayed that people don't have an interest at the foundational elements of it. To me, I don't know very much about that, so I'm wondering, well, how important is it? You know, but I guess what I'm getting from you is that it helps you to be able to think through on more than just a surface level of the programming so that you can see resolutions that kind of go beyond. And I guess I'm...
Well, it allows you to get more innovative. So instead of relying on... this is how we have to do it because this is all I've ever seen other people do, you're able to take a step back and say, well, okay, why do we have to do it with this piece of, or this piece of software? Why can't we do it like this? Why did we buy this huge monolithic thing when all we really need for it to do is send an email, right? Well, investigating how you can build that tool yourself, and that's a lot of what I'm doing at work. So I'm taking a lot of these disparate components, right? And I'm wrapping them together in this API that makes it much more digestible for lower level engineers to be able to do stuff, right? So I'll give you a perfect example. So if you think about logging, right? So when you're logging something, you want to step through the process and say, I did this, now I'm doing step one, now step two, step three, step four. All that is good maybe for documentation, but it is also good for when it breaks. So if you have a 1,000-step process and it breaks, where did it break? Well, just open the code. Let's say you can't. Let's say you're not a programmer. Would not it help to know that it failed on step 555 and that step is this component? So that helps you troubleshoot, oh, maybe I did something incorrectly.
Right.
So with logging and in this thing that I'm doing, it'll say, for the sake of simplicity, it'll say, here's the message that you're going to send into the log. I completed step two. And then here's a timestamp. And the timestamp has to be in what's called Epoch Linux time. And it has to be in milliseconds. Epoch Linux time is in minutes. Or, no, it's in some variation that you have to multiply it by 1,000. But you have to know that from the investigation of what on earth it is talking about. So you have to do that. And then once you call it once, it returns to you a sequence token. That sequence token then has to be used in the next call to the thing, so that you can keep the logging in order. Now that's very convoluted and complicated. And as a lower level engineer, you have to be concerned with how I'm doing the epoch conversion, making sure that's correct, because if it's not multiplied by 1,000, it'll break. And if you don't use the sequence token, then it's not going to append it to the log. But do you really care about those things? You don't. So I wrap it. So I just say, what's the message you want to send? Cool. Oh, here's the token. It doesn't matter what it is. Just put it in this thing when you do it again. And that's it. You don't need to know all those other things. So that's why that you further abstract away the complexity just to get at the base level of what the user is trying to do. Does that make
Okay,
sense?
yeah.
So that's what my job is in simplifying these things and making it more robust, because the more people that you have using a product or building tools with your tools, the more testing you get out of it, because you get to refine it and learn all the edge cases where things are broken. And it just makes it an overall better product the more people they can hammer on
That's great. That's
it.
good.
But if you don't understand the foundations, you can't build that step.
I got it.
'Cause you're just like, I don't know how to do this.
That's interesting.
So that's a lot of what I'm talking about when I t and foundational, I'm actually glad I started programming when I did, because I was programming back in the day when to put something on a screen wasn't just put at this position, you had to obtain device context handlers to talk to like the GPU. Like, that's how crazy it gets, right? And you have to calculate how much you're rendering off screen, how much memory are you using, because if you use too much memory, then you get lag and slowness. So a lot of those things programmers aren't thinking about these days, because they have all these libraries that manage these things for them, and frankly, they're getting lazy.
Yeah.
So we're churning out all these people that, well, I can build an app in 3 days. I'm like, really? Okay, build it without any libraries. I can't do that. Well, then how do you know it's good? How do you know it's the best choice?
You're totally dependent on the existing libraries out there. You might be able to come up with some additions to that library if you understood.
And if that main library was making a mistake, now everyone's making the same mistake.
Yep.
Like I said with the node thing, everything broke and people didn't know what to do. They thought it was something else. But you've included so much code from other people, it could be anything. So that's where it's just kind of important to have that foundational understanding of not, it doesn't have to be programming, it can be anything.
Sure.
Like when you bought your house and you're doing fixer-upper stuff, it's good to understand load-bearing walls or electrical
Yeah.
stuff.
Oh, that's really true. That's really true. Well, my week has been very different. Talk about rabbit trails. But this is a good one. My sister-in-law, my wife's sister, has come to visit with us. And she came with the purpose of helping us go through our house, buy some furniture, go through some of the clutter, try to arrange the house in a way that made more sense. And she's really gifted at it, so we've been really excited to have her here. They got the furniture. Well, we bought the furniture on Sunday, and they delivered it Wednesday. And I was at work at the time, but I still remember the phone call between your mother and I, and your mother was fighting back the tears because she was so excited. And I kind of wished I had been there to see the look on her face, but she was so excited. It was just really fun. So this is one, like I said, one of those good rabbit trails that you go on where you can just stop and take a breather and enjoy for the moment something that's happening in your life that it's a real blessing. So we've really, really had a good week doing that. I haven't had time much for anything besides work and coming home and helping move this or move that or whatever. But it's been a good week for that sake. So I don't mind the fact that I haven't had time to write or study for my test at all.
Oh, really? When is your
No,
test again?
the 29th of September. So I got
Okay.
28 days before the
You
test.
still have time.
So I'll be doing that, but I didn't want to cram too much into this week because the two ladies needed my help with stuff, and so I had to make myself available for that.
Yeah. No, those are good things. And it affects your attitude or your outlook on things. The furniture does that, like how rooms open up or how they, like I've been sitting in there more.
Well, see, that's interesting because I thought about that. Our living room was a mixture of all kinds of different types of furniture, and because we didn't really hadn't really bought a living room set. We haven't had a matched living room set in a lot of years. And to not only have the furniture but also to the various things that her sisters helped her to do in there. Now it's created an atmosphere that makes you want to sit in there, and just it's very relaxing, and it's interesting how clutter in a person's life, you might say, well, this just depicts my life, clutter. Well, think about decluttering your life. Maybe that's part of your problem, is that you're afraid to let go of certain things, and just strip down to the things that are really important to you, getting rid of the excess, instead of continuing to look at it and or shove it in a drawer someplace.
Well, and sometimes understanding what things don't matter is just as important to get rid of it.
And the older you get, the more you realize that you tend to hold on to things too long. And sometimes they are physical things like furniture or books or stuff. Sometimes there are other things, mental things that you hold on to that you really need to release. And I think when we talk in terms of focus, that becomes a really important thing. Not the furniture and the books and all that other kind of stuff, but maybe some differing. Maybe you got a multitude of different dreams that you've been trying to pursue over the years, but you never really set this one aside and that one aside to focus on just one. Because you really wanted to do them all, but you weren't being realistic with yourself. There's no way you could give the energy and make enough headway unless you began to focus on a singular area.
Well, and some of the things, so the cool thing that I've kind of learned at work, which has kind of been out of necessity for like a cost, like we're going to investigate this thing for 3 hours and that's it. If it doesn't work, we're going to ditch it. And so I at first that seems like it's a really bad way to do it, but the more I thought about it, the more I was like, no, that makes perfect sense. Like you're 80% there by dedicating that 3 hours. The chances of you hitting it on the next 20% is not likely. And that 20% is increased exponentially. So like 80% of 3 hours, well, the full barrage of checking every little teeny thing, that may take 3 or 4 days, and then you're back to square one. You have nothing to show for it. So like being like with the business thing, also concentrating on what are my tasks and what tasks are not pertaining to me. So like a lot of the times, because I worry a lot, I'll be like, oh, I'm just waiting on that person to get back to me. Now I'm just like, I shoot you the email, it's your problem now. It's off my list. If
Letting
you
it
never get
go.
it back to me, I don't care. It's none of my concern.
I've had a few things like that at work where I've had certain things to say to certain people, and I already anticipate what their response is going to be. So I take longer than I should to compose the email or to deal with it, and learning to just deal with it quickly and get beyond it. If you have to deal with collateral damage from something that, maybe you decided too quickly, so be it.
Yeah.
But
Or like you just err on the side of not caution, but a timely manner of getting something done. And like with a project too, it's just been like, okay, this isn't working. Why? Try to investigate why. Try to come at it from another angle. Instead of trying to get it to work, try to investigate why it won't work.
right.
And maybe the answer is there, which it was today. So I discovered like this thing doesn't work on Mac OS. So ditch it. Do something else. It's not going to work. Tons of engineers have tried. You're not tons of engineers. The likelihood of you getting that 20% if you spend the next 4 months doing it yourself, it's not worth it.
And that's having an appropriate value on your time. And not just doing it because somebody thinks you should, or because you haven't taken the time to look and say, hey, I think this is a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm getting better at managing my time, which is really good. I'm also getting better just being honest with myself about certain things, like even like when we talked about the writing. And if you ask the hard questions, well, if you say you really like to write, why aren't you writing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what? Okay, well, you don't have enough time. Okay, well, that's why don't you have enough time? And so you sit back and you analyze what you're doing with your time,
mm-hmm.
and you start realizing that, well, you know, so as they say, you always do what you really want to do. And so if you look at their time usage, that's a good depiction of where your value is. And so you tend to value this more than you do this. And so that I've had to come to some conclusions about why I don't accomplish certain things. I know one thing, and this is one of the things that I've said before that I admire about you, is that you don't give up easily. When you say you're going to do something, you may not know how you're going to do it,
mm-hmm.
but you stay with it.
Mm-hmm.
You're tenacious, you know, you persevere. That hasn't been one of my stellar qualities. And so I've had to challenge myself into thinking, you know what, if you stay with the problem a little bit longer,
mm-hmm.
you're not sure. And I did that with my writing. It was kind of interesting. I've sat down before and I'd be sitting there trying to figure out what I was going to write, and nothing's coming to mind. And next thing I know, my mind's wandering and I'm thinking about a TV program or how nice it is outside, mm-hmm. or whatever else. And the next thing you know, you're gone, right? And if you know that about yourself, you can rein in those stray thoughts and just say, no, we're going to just stay with this. Okay, you don't know what you're going to say or write at this moment, but you're going to stick with this for an hour.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if it takes you 50 minutes before something decent comes out, that's okay.
Yeah.
Because you're actually exercising some mental muscles and getting better at just staying at it. And
well, I'm pushing. So I heard a podcast the other day where the guy asked, he's really successful, he said, what's the secret, right? And he said, he goes, the secret, in my opinion, the thing that every successful person does well, time management. And they don't waste time in meetings, they don't waste time where it's not necessary. So he goes, my goal is to be, what did he say? Fastidious
yeah.
at time management. And I thought, well, it's so interesting because it makes so much sense now. Now that I'm getting into this, it's not a question of can I or can't I do it. It's a question of should I do it. And, you know, when I did a project for a job interview, right, you should hammer on that until you're dead and you can't do it anymore and you just give everything. But then on something else like this project that's very fluid, maybe you're looking at it from the wrong perspective. Maybe you've looked at it for too long. So learning to cut and run with things has been a big thing for me, and that has to do with time management, because I don't have time. I don't have, you know, hours and hours in the day to just think and try to out these certain things. And yeah, you're doing it as a hobby, but you're trying to get to, there is a goal in sight of where you're trying to get to, not just have a pile of junk that doesn't work.
I think a part of that time management too is asking yourself, what do I need at a particular moment in time?
Mm-hmm.
And by that I mean, I'm really tired. I need some sleep. So what are you banging your head against the wall, right? Go lay down for a while, or go take a power nap, or
mm-hmm.
Go out and get a little exercise. What do I need at the moment? Well, I need to persevere. I'm getting distracted here because the TV is on or whatever. So turn the TV off. What is it? And always coming back to that, what do I need at the moment here to use my time wisely?
Yeah.
And it isn't always, you know, pedal to the metal, you know,
yeah.
for the next 18 hours. You know, that's ridiculous. You know, you're human. You have certain needs. You get hungry. You get tired. You need exercise, you know. And so we don't always, it's not always about, well, I really want to accomplish this unrealistic goal of you know, between now and next Friday. And,
mm-hmm.
well, yeah, there's a few things you're going to need other than just thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
So manage, know yourself and manage your time well enough so that you're not doing things at the wrong time or for too long or for too short.
You know? Well, and also for the things of me putting things on my plate on a weekly basis, as opposed to if I look at all the issues that I have in GitHub, there 100, over 200. It doesn't matter, right? Because maybe half of those go away because they become non-issues because of other things that you're solving now. So now I just say, for the week, these are the three things I'm doing on this project. These are the three things I'm doing on this project. If I fall behind, I'll catch up. Doesn't matter. Figure it out. You have a week to do all these things. And there's not a lot, but I've noticed that concentrating on eating what's on my plate really changes the game because I'm able to really focus and really only concentrate. Like right now, I'm only concentrated on the architecture and the work through of the app and how it works. That's it. I don't care about the architecture on the back end. I don't care about the other stuff and integrating other things. None of that matters because if you don't get this, you have nothing.
Yep.
And so that's what I think that's been a game changer for me, whereas before I would just review every little thing, and now I'm just like, these things are the current things that I'm working on, and I don't even look at the other things.
You know, when I was telling you about what Brian Tracy, the motivational speaker, said about eat a frog the first thing every morning,
mm-hmm.
the most important thing and the highest priority, do it first thing in the morning. But he also had something I had never heard before I read him, and that was on creatively procrastinating on low-level priorities.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, just, you know, keep focusing on your higher priorities, and eventually either those lower priorities will become a higher priority or they'll disappear altogether because you just frankly didn't have time to do them anyway.
Yep.
So not a big deal.
Yep.
Don't worry about it. But carrying them around, all of it around as if they were all reasonably high priorities,
mm-hmm.
that's kind of a lot of weight to carry.
And yeah.
Frankly, there's only a few things that are really the high priorities.
Yeah, and you may just want to get rid of it. So then I guess for next week, I was going down this path with Mac, and that's not going to work, so now I have to go down the path with Linux, which I've been down before, but I'm trying to nail it down by next week so that I have something operational on that piece. Then on the business side, I'm still working. That's kind of all working together on this thing to try to get things nailed down. And then I'll probably actually start getting into some of the code or determining where I'm going to use my time and if we need to bring another person on and pay them to do it or if I should do it or whatever needs to happen. So that's kind of that's what I'm shooting for.
I've got week. My sister-in-law. When she leaves Saturday, I think.
Sunday.
After that, I'll be able to focus back on the mainstream stuff. But there's
for studying.
Well, yeah, for studying.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, there's ongoing stuff here at home and at work, so I don't have much time for anything.
That's fine.
Studying and then after Sunday, studying and then also really thinking through the timing on the writing so that I'm working at it. You know, it's encouraging to me. I could be discouraged about the fact that I'm not consistently writing as much as I started off doing and wanted to do. But I think the encouraging part is if you keep it, don't let the coals go out, you know, and the fire, just keep them alive. And, you know, you can get back on track after a period of time.
Yeah.
But I can't carry too much right now just because it would be too much.
Maybe the whiteboard. I mean, you have space there. I like it because it freezes things in time. Like a computer nowadays is too distracting. Because although all my things are managed electronically, I have my phone, my watch, my laptop, my other computer. There's so many things and things going on that it's nice to have that physical, I wrote this because it is important.
And you got it in front of you all the time.
Yeah, and that way, if I pause, there's been weeks where I don't get anything done. I just let it roll over. There's no dates. There's just days. So, I mean, maybe just to be like, And it could be high level, so no one's stealing your secrets.
That's a good thought.
But just to keep it, so when you look at it, you're like, huh. And you know you can't do anything with it now, but at least you're still processing.
I can do that, though. I think that's a good point. I think I will. I'll do that. I'll come up with my form, my version of a whiteboard, and something that I'll have in front of me all the time.
Because a lot of the time, that's gonna. That's a lot of the time that you're spent thinking on things,
yep.
And that's the stuff that has to take time to marinate.
Yep.
Okay. So, I think that's good. So then we'll see what happens.
All right.
All right. Bye.
See ya.